Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 823. Caution, Banksters at Work, part two, subtitled Still More Collateralized Death Obligations. This is being recorded on November 30th of the year 2014. This program is not only going to supplement For the Record 772 and For the Record 792, we're going to explore a number of different considerations with regard to the financial industry, not only in the U.S., but elsewhere. And there are some things that are depressing, there are some things that are scary, and some things that are grimly funny as well. In For the Record 772 and in For the Record 792, we took a look at what I call collateralized death. That's D-E-A-T-H obligations. Obviously, that is something of a grim pun on the collateralized debt obligations, or CDOs, one of the hallucinatory financial instruments that was concocted by Wall Street and the global financial industry in order to, in order to make money. They wound up being some of the vehicles that helped to produce the global financial collapse of 2008. As regulatory agencies, particularly here in the U.S., and law enforcement agencies have tightened the rein on a number of financial institutions, in particular investment banks, and as those banks have faced a greater degree of scrutiny along with legal investigations into criminal wrongdoing, there has been an enormous uptick in suspicious deaths of bankers, some of them clearly not the suicides we were told there were. One guy supposedly shot himself 7 or 8 times in the head and torso with a nail gun. They called that a suicide. Other very suspicious deaths as well have been classified as suicides. And we're going to update those collateralized death obligations in this program. By the way, do be aware that significant contributions are made on the SpitfireList.com website by other than yours truly. In particular, a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terrafactlet, P as in Paul, T-E-R-R-A-F-R-A-C-T-Y-L, he not only publishes articles, but they also contribute very important comments that supplement many of the programs and posts that I put on the SpitfireList.com website. Please subscribe to the comments, and you will be able to get regular updates on the many stories that I simply don't have time to update on this program, an hour a week. You can do a fair amount, but there's also an awful lot that cannot be done as well. So I would strongly advise that users of the SpitfireList.com website and people who listen to this program subscribe to the comments. You can get the feed for those comments. And also, there is a button that places a link to click on so that you can be updated on articles and programs that have been published as well. Thanks to the efforts of those contributing commenters, Terrafactlet in particular, they are providing an invaluable service. For example, just this past week, after all of the brouhaha, and this will be in a future program about updating the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, people will remember that when the Snowdenistas were riding high, there was an international brouhaha about German Chancellor Angela Merkel's cell phone supposedly having been hacked by the NSA. Well, the Germans have dropped that investigation for lack of solid proof. My guess is most of you have not heard about that. It has not received a lot of publicity. After all of that screaming and yelling and all of the brouhaha, the Germans have dropped the investigation for lack of solid evidence. Those are the kinds of updates that are provided in the comments, and I would emphatically recommend that people who are serious about the program and the website subscribe to the comments as well as updates on posts and programs. The comments, that is, constitute something of a running update on material that I simply don't have time to cover here. And there are a lot of important pieces of information about finance, the environment, and various stories as well. So, again, subscribe to the comments feed, and there's a link at the top of the description for the record 823, and you will improve your understanding of things. And those comments have become an information source, a journalistic source in and of themselves. Now, to the subject at hand, the banksters at work, and more collateralized debt, that's DEATH, obligations. An article appeared in the Financial Times of London of November 20th of 2014. Banking makes you less honest, research finds. This is by Cleave, C-L-I-V-E, Cookson, C-O-O-K-S-O-N, and it reads in part as follows. Swiss researchers have come up with what they say is compelling scientific evidence that bankers lie for financial gain. The team at the University of Zurich used game-playing experiments to show, quote, that the prevailing culture in the banking industry weakens and undermines the honesty norm, implying that measures to reestablish an honest culture are very important, unquote. The study, published in the journal Nature, probes the psychology behind what the researchers call, quote, a dramatic loss of reputation and a crisis of trust in the financial sector, unquote, as a result of rogue trading, rigged interest rates such as LIBOR and tax evasion scandals, skipping down. Talking about the experiment itself. If everyone was completely honest, the proportion of winning tosses, that is the flipping of a coin, the proportion of winning tosses across each group would be 50%. The control group came close to this with 51.6%. The treatment group, who had been primed by the preliminary questions to think about banking, reported 58.2% winning tosses, a statistically significant tilt towards dishonesty. The proportion who cheated was estimated at 26%. Again, a social psychology experiment at the University of Zurich in Switzerland, which has a statistical yield indicating that people involved in the banking industry are more inclined toward dishonesty than others. I don't know if they're necessarily more inclined toward dishonesty than others, but certainly I think the headline here, banking makes you less honest, research finds, will not come as a brutal shock to most people listening to this program, or frankly, an awful lot of people in the world as a whole. We're going to be taking a look in the next two articles at Deutsche Bank. There has been yet another curious death at Deutsche Bank, an alleged suicide. And again, Deutsche Bank is among the institutions that it has been investigated in connection with a number of things, including LIBOR and tax evasion scandals referred to here. And we're going to take a look at what the New York Fed has had to say about Deutsche Bank's U.S. operations. This is by Katrin, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, and Arno Schütze, S-C-H-U-E-T-Z-E. They are Reuters writers, and this is from Yahoo News of July 23rd of 2014. New York Fed found serious problems at Deutsche Bank, it reads in part. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York has found serious problems in Deutsche Bank AG's U.S. operations, including shoddy financial reporting, weak technology, and inadequate auditing and oversight, people close to the matter told Reuters. In a letter to the German lender's executives last December, that would have been December of 2013, a senior official with the New York Fed described financial reports produced by some of the bank's U.S. divisions as, quote, low quality, inaccurate, and unreliable, unquote, said one of the sources who was familiar with the letter. The New York Fed, as the U.S. central bank's eyes and ears on Wall Street, directly supervises the biggest U.S. and foreign banks, particularly through embedded regulators who go to work each day inside the firms. Quote, the size and breadth of errors strongly suggest that the firm's entire U.S. regulatory reporting structure requires a wide-ranging remedial action, unquote, said the letter first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The New York Fed declined to comment, citing the confidentiality of supervisory activities. The European Central Bank and German financial watchdog BaFin, B-A-F-I-N, declined to comment. Deutsche Bank said it was investing 1 billion euros, or about $1.4 billion, to upgrade its internal systems, including the quality of its reporting, with about 1,300 people working on the improvements. Quote, we have been working diligently to further strengthen our systems and controls, a spokeswoman said. The letter is nevertheless a blow to Deutsche Bank co-chief executive Jürgen Fitschen and Anshu Jain, who have been seeking to transform the lender's corporate culture amid scandals, investigations, and fines following the financial crisis of 2008-2009. Well, the New York State Department of Financial Services is looking at Deutsche in relation to issues including possible Forex manipulation and Iran sanctions violations. The New York Fed's concerns are separate and arose from routine examinations by its staff, a source familiar with the matter said. So again, the New York Fed is continuing to look askance at Deutsche Bank's operations. That may very well have had something to do with yet another very suspicious death at Deutsche Bank, this of a Deutsche Bank executive or Deutsche Bank banker named Calogero Gambino, nicknamed Charlie Gambino. I do not know if there is any link between Calogero, Charlie Gambino, and the famed Gambino organized crime family of New York. I have not seen anything indicating that that is the case. It certainly is an interesting thing to ponder. But whether or not the late Calogero Gambino was linked to the American organized crime family of the same name, certainly there is a lot to look at. A very important post appeared in the ZeroHedge.com blog of October 26th of 2014. This is by someone who writes under the name of Tyler Durden, D-U-R-D-E-N. The headline is, another Deutsche Banker and former SEC enforcement attorney commits suicide. Before I go into this, I do not use ZeroHedge.com on any regular basis. I've used a number of articles from it over the years. They have some excellent information on financial instruments and the markets through which they are trafficked. And that is a number of people I know use some of the posts on their site. They have some very good information on a subject that I at least find relatively opaque. Analyzing and meandering my way through some of this analysis with a highly specialized lingo that I struggle with. Frankly, I am not a financial professional. And again, Zero Hedge has some very good information about financial instruments and the markets through which they are trafficked. ZeroHedge.com, I understand from people familiar with it, has an overall editorial stance that is basically of the Austrian school of economics. And I put two thumbs down on the Austrian school. And if I were an octopus, I'd be putting eight tentacles down on the Austrian school. So simply as a matter of course, I would be extremely leery about any editorial posts one sees on this blog. Again, it's not one I use. I have had a number of articles sent to me over the years. They are quite good, and this is a good example, but I want to issue a strong caveat about their editorial stance, which appears to be sort of Austrian school or Palestinian libertarian organization. It doesn't get too much worse than that. Nonetheless, some of these articles are quite useful, and they have a lot of information that is not on other sites. It's one of the reasons why professional associates who share my view of the Austrian school also find Zero Hedge at times quite useful. But again, an emphatic caveat about their editorial stance. Also, my understanding is that all of their posts come from Tyler Durden. That is actually a generic name. Tyler Durden, I understand, was the name of a character in the movie The Fight Club, and so all of their writers post under that name. As some listeners may know, I rarely go to movies and don't watch television, so things like The Fight Club are a long way from home for me, but I understand that the Tyler Durden name is that of a character in the movie Fight Club. So, again, there does not appear to be a real writer named Tyler Durden. However, back to the post from ZeroHedge.com with all of those caveats of October 26th of the year 2014. Another Deutsche Banker and former SEC enforcement attorney commits suicide. And in addition to the death of Calogero Charlie Gambino, this post also compares some of his work with the work done by William Brokesmith, Brokesmit, whose death we spoke about in For the Record 772. This post reads, back on January 26th, a 58-year-old former senior executive at German investment bank behemoth Deutsche Bank, William Brokesmit, was found dead after hanging himself at his London home, and with that set off an unprecedented series of banker suicides throughout the year, which included former Fed officials and numerous J.P. Morgan traders. Following a brief late summer spell in which there was little, if any, news of bankers taking their lives, as reported previously, the banker suicides returned with a bang when none other than the hedge fund partner of infamous former IMF head Dominique Strauss-Kahn, Thierry Len, L-E-Y-N-E, a French-Israeli entrepreneur, was found dead after jumping off the 23rd floor of one of the U Towers, a prestigious residential complex in Tel Aviv. Just a few brief hours later, the Wall Street Journal reported that yet another Deutsche Bank veteran has committed suicide, and not just anyone, but the bank's associate general counsel, 41-year-old Calogero Charlie Gambino, G-A-M-B-I-N-O, who was found on the morning of October 20th, having also hung himself by the neck from a stairway banister, which, according to the New York Police Department, was the cause of his death. We assume that any relationship to the famous Italian family carrying that last name is purely accidental. Again, parenthetically, I can't say whether there's any connection or not. Skipping down. As a reminder, the other Deutsche Banker who was found dead earlier in the year, William Brokesmit, again, B-R-O-E-K-S-M-I-T, was involved in the bank's risk function and advised the firm's senior leadership. He was, quote, anxious about various authorities investigating areas of the bank where he worked, unquote. According to written evidence from his psychologist given Tuesday at an inquest at London's Royal Courts of Justice. Now that an almost identical suicide by hanging has taken place at Europe's most systemically important bank and by a person who works in a nearly identical function as William Brokesmit to shield the bank from regulators and prosecutors and cover up its allegedly illegal activities with settlements and fines, is surely bound to raise many questions. The Wall Street Journal reports that Mr. Gambino has been, quote, closely involved in negotiating legal issues for Deutsche Bank, including the prolonged probe into manipulation of the London Interbank Offered Rate, or LIBOR, L-I-B-O-R, and ongoing investigations into manipulation of currencies markets, according to people familiar with Gambino's role at the bank. Gambino previously was an associate of a private law firm and a regulatory enforcement player, Gambino previously was an associate at a private law firm and a regulatory enforcement lawyer from 1997 to 1999, according to his online LinkedIn profile and biographies for conferences where he spoke. But most notably, as his LinkedIn profile below shows, like many other Wall Street revolving door regulators, he started his career at the SEC itself, where he worked from 1997 to 1999. Going back to the previous suicide by a Deutsche Bank executive, the bank said at the time of the inquest that Mr. Brokesmith, quote, was not under suspicion of wrongdoing in any matter, unquote. At the time of Mr. Brokesmith's death, Deutsche Bank executives sent a memo to bank staff saying Mr. Brokesmith, quote, was considered by many of his peers to be among the finest minds in the fields of risk and capital management, unquote. Mr. Brokesmith had left a senior role at Deutsche Bank's investment bank in February of 2013, but he remained an advisor until the end of that year. His most recent title was the investment bank's head of capital and risk optimization, which included evaluating risks related to complicated transactions. A thread connecting Brokesmith to wrongdoing, however, was uncovered earlier this summer when Wall Street on Parade referenced his name in relation to the notorious at the time strategy provided by Deutsche Bank and others to allow hedge funds to avoid paying short-term capital gain taxes known as MAPS, M-A-P-S. And then they quote Wall Street on Parade as follows. Brokesmith's name first emerged in yesterday's Senate hearing as Senator Carl Levin, chair of the subcommittee, was questioning Satish Ramakrishna, the global head of risk and pricing for global prime finance at Deutsche Bank Securities in New York. Ramakrishna was downplaying his knowledge of conversations about how the scheme was about changing short-term gains into long-term gains, denying that he had been privy to any conversations whatsoever on the matter. Levin then asked, quote, did you ever have conversations with a man named Brokesmith, unquote? Ramakrishna conceded that he had, and the fact that the scheme had a tax benefit had emerged in that conversation. Well, repeating that last sentence. Levin then asked, did you ever have conversations with a man named Brokesmith? Ramakrishna conceded that he had, and that the fact that the scheme, and also conceded the fact that the scheme had a tax benefit, had emerged in that conversation. Ramakrishna could hardly deny this, as Levin had released a November 7th, 2008 transcript of a conversation between Ramakrishna and Brokesmith where the tax benefit had been acknowledged. Another exhibit released by Levin was an August 25th, 2009 email from William Brokesmith to Anshu Jain, J-I-N, with a CC to Ramakrishna, where Brokesmith went into copious detail on exactly what the scheme, internally called the MAPS, again, M-A-P-S, all in capitals, made possible for the bank and for its client, the Renaissance Technologies Hedge Fund. At one point in the two-page email, Brokesmith reveals the massive risk that the bank is taking on, writing, quote, size of portfolio tends to be between $8 and $12 billion long and same amount of short. Maximum allowed usage is 16 billion times $16 billion, though this has never been approached, unquote. Brokesmith goes on to say that most of Deutsche's money from the scheme, quote, is actually made by lending them specials that we have on inventory, and they pay for above the regular rates for that, unquote. It would appear that with just months until the regulatory crackdown and congressional kangaroo circus, Bloke Smith knew what was about to pass, and being deeply implicated in such a scheme, preferred to take the painless way out. Indeed, that may be the case. It may also be that somebody decided that this guy might implicate somebody a little bit higher up, so they decided to suicide him. Again, I have no hard information either way on that. Continuing with the Zero Hedge article. The question then is just what regulatory revelation is just over the horizon for Deutsche Bank if yet another banker had to take his life to avoid being cross-examined by Congress under oath. For a hint, we go back to another report, this by the Financial Times, which yesterday noted that Deutsche Bank will set aside just under 1 billion euros toward the numerous legal and regulatory losses it faces in its third quarter results next week, the bank confirmed on Friday. In a statement made after the close of markets, the Frankfurt-based lender said it expected to publish litigation costs of 894 million euros when it announces its results for the July-September period on October 29th. The extra cash will add to Deutsche's already sizable litigation pot, where the bank has yet to be fined in connection with the London interbank rate rigging scandal. It is also facing fines from U.S. authorities over its alleged mortgage-backed securities mis-selling and sanctions violations, which have already seen rivals to Deutsche Bank hit with heady fines. Deutsche has also warned that damage from global investigations into whether traders attempted to manipulate the foreign exchange market could have a material impact on the bank. Skipping down. Clearly, Deutsche Bank is slowly becoming Europe's own J.P. Morgan, a criminal bank whose past is finally catching up to it, and where legal fine after legal fine are only now starting to slam the banking behemoth. We will find out just what the nature of the latest litigation charge is next week when Deutsche Bank reports, but one thing is clear. In addition to mortgage, LIBOR, and Forex settlements, one should also add gold. Recall from around the time when the first Deutsche Banker hung himself, it was then that Elke Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G, the president of Germany's top financial regulator, BaFin, capital B-A-F-I-N, said that in addition to currency rates, manipulation of precious metals, quote, is worse than the LIBOR rigging scandal, unquote. It remains to be seen if Calogero's death was also related to precious metals rigging, although it certainly would not be surprising. What is surprising is that slowly things are starting to fall apart at one bank, which, as we won't tire of highlighting, has a bigger pyramid of notional derivatives on its balance sheet than even J.P. Morgan, listen to how big, amounting to 20 times more than the gross domestic product of Germany itself, and where if any internal investigation ever goes to the very top, then Europe itself, and thus the world, would be in jeopardy. Yes, indeedy, those are some very high stakes indeed, and we're going to continue with this investigation, including our discussion of banks investing in commodities and precious metals. That, however, will be in Side 2, because this concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program Number 823. Caution, Banksters at Work, Part 2, Still More Collateralized Death Obligations. This has been recorded on November 30th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.